Boy, I appreciate the good singing. And Sunshine Choir, as they were singing, I thought about this, that we talk about no turning back. We sing that song all the time as adults, but it is interesting that it seems like many times when things get difficult, we quit, right? And Jesus told his disciples this, that if they would not deny their self, their family, and everything, that they were not worthy to be his disciples. And I wonder how many times we allow family, friends, foes, and pretty much anybody else to deter us from doing what God wants us to do. Then they just sang that song about, I want my life to count for Jesus. And I thought about this, you know, back many years ago when I played baseball, Brother Jeff, you'll know this, they gave you, if you made the varsity team, you got a letter jacket. Man, that was one of the highest honors you could get. You wanted to get a letter jacket as soon as you could. So even way back then, instead of 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade being high school, you had 10th, 11th, 12th. We had a junior varsity team, and the junior varsity was 10th graders. And very seldom did a 10th grader ever play on the varsity. Well, my goal was to play on the varsity because I wanted one of them letters. And then when you made the team, if you won the conference, they gave you a patch to put on your letter jacket to say you were conference. And then if you really were good, they'd give you a patch to put on your letter jacket that said all conference. And all those were pretty temporal awards, right? You could be all state, you could be player of the year, you could be all those things. And really, I don't know that my goal was to be those things, but I knew that if I played well enough that those accomplishments would follow. Well, guess what? You say, well, that's pretty shallow, preacher. Well, let me ask you this. What's your tombstone going to say? Because that's an accomplishment when they put on your tombstone, here lies someone who is a man of faith or a woman of prayer or a great mother or a great father or a wonderful husband. That's an accomplishment, right? And so you want that. But even greater than that, to hear the Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant, is the highest honor we could have, and that is an eternal honor. And so a lot of times we look at things and say, well, you shouldn't do things for recognition. I agree with that, but I'm like they, saying I want my life to count for something. Be sad, wouldn't it, to be at the end of your days and you gave your whole life to be the president of a company. And I saw this when my dad died. You know, he moved to Mexico to because his company needed him so bad. And when he died, they put his name on the conference room, and then they found somebody to fill his spot. And guess what? When you die, same thing's going to happen to you. They'll fill your spot. But there are some things that are eternal. And if you'll make your life count for Jesus, it will not end when you draw your last breath. Now, they may forget about you down here, right? I'm sure one day when I leave here and Currytown Baptist Church, if the Lord doesn't come, gets a new pastor, they may say, man, you remember when Brother McDaniel was here? But at some point in time, I'll be in the past, you know, and that's fine. But if your life counts for Jesus, then it's not in vain. And I think you got to ask yourself today, does my life really count for anything? What am I laboring for? What am I living for? Is everything that I labor for and live for going to be burned up one day? Does it really matter? And when you get to that point in life, it changes, doesn't it? You know, as a young person, you think, man, I want to live, have fun, and enjoy this life and get all the trinkets and all the stuff, and I want to move up the ladder, and I want to, and you know, at some point in time, you realize that all that can be taken away. And probably, honestly, the way things are going will be. I doubt any of us probably going to have much of a retirement plan, 401k or anything else. But I do know this, that when we get to heaven, what we've done for the Lord is going to be recognized. But then what we haven't done is going to be recognized as well. So appreciate the good song. It made me think. I hope it did you as well. And when it's all said and done, you know, I look at the reality of it. I say this often. I hope I take after the ladies in our family because they live to be a ripe old age. The men in our family don't live too long. And so I'm hoping I take after the women. I think that's how it works, isn't it? You get the genes of the women's side of the family. That's what I'm banking on anyway. But if not, I think this, that Brother Bobby, I know my dad, granddads, all died at a fairly early age in their 60s, which means, you know, I'm got 15, 20 years left. So I want to make the most of it, right? I don't want to live it up for this world and leave a bunch of junk behind. I want to live it up for the Lord and get much accomplished because, again, maybe one day. So you ought to do the same. We're not guaranteed another day, another breath. So I want you to turn your Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2 this evening. And again, I so appreciate our young people and I appreciate our parents that you'll have your kids here at 4 o'clock for youth choir practice. You'll have them in the youth program, those that allow their teens to stay all day. And of course, Brother Paul, Miss Tammy, and all of those, Brother Justin, Miss Emily, all those that work with the kids down in the children's sanctuary. And just appreciate them. Brother Jose, Miss Arlene, they're celebrating the anniversary next month. And 9 years, right? 9 years it's been. I told them, I said, we're getting old. I remember when Timothy was that tall and Stephen was that tall. And now Timothy is taller than Jose. And so it's fun serving God together. I appreciate them very much. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I want to read verse 1. Matter of fact, I want to read down through, I don't know, about maybe verse 4. The Bible said, I exhort therefore in verse 1 that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Look at verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That doesn't say one thing about the nation would change, the leaders would change the nation to where we'd have a great, prosperous life, does it? It says we're to pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will make all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentile in faith and verity. And look at verse 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So no doubt, as we study our Bible, we look at Jesus in the Gospels. We see here Paul writing to this young preacher, Timothy, that the Bible tells us we should pray. As a matter of fact, it takes for granted that we pray. And so if it is that important to God, and it's that beneficial to us, we have to realize that there will be enemies to prayer, right? There are going to be things that are contrary to prayer. There are things that will hinder our prayer life, and prayer is essential. It is the lifeblood of our walk with God. It is the water. It is the air. However you look at it, it is necessary for the believer's life and for our well-being. And so if it's that important to us, no doubt, I know we're Baptists, and we realize that you have to eat. And so we look at that, and we do it often, right? Probably too often. And we realize that we have to have liquid. We should have water. And so, therefore, these things are necessary. I don't know about you, but I rather enjoy breathing. And so we have to make that a vital part of our life. It is a vital part of our life. If you don't do it for an extended period of time, you'll die. That's how important prayer is to the spiritual life. Those who don't pray die spiritually. Those who do not spend time with God die spiritually. It is possibly the greatest act the devil fights against. I don't know about you. He doesn't fight me too awful hard about coming to church. I don't have a problem with coming to church. If I feel like it, don't feel like it. Sometimes it is more difficult than other times. But I've just made it such a principle and priority in my life, and you have too, that when it's Sunday, when it's Wednesday, there's an internal clock in me that says time to go to church. You like that as well? I struggle more with reading the Bible. I'll be honest with you, there's times, Brother Jose, that my flesh says you don't need to read it this morning, and you know, but I can still do it. I can look, and Brother Johnny, it may not all add up, it may not all make sense, but I can at least go through the motions and get something out of it. But then there's prayer. And it does seem to me like the devil fights prayer more than anything. We don't find time for it. We think it's kind of, there's a side of us in our flesh. We think it's a little bit silly. We're speaking to someone that we don't see, right? We feel a little bit odd about speaking aloud to someone we don't see. And the devil fights you on that. He puts distractions in our life. He makes it a priority in his life to hinder our prayer life. And so it is fought against that much, it must have great value. Anything the devil fights against that much must be valuable to us. If we are aware of the enemies of prayer, then we can make preparations to avoid those enemies and fight those enemies. So let me preface the message with these two points, and then I want to spend a little bit of time on this third point. First of all, I want you to see the exhortation to pray. Bible said in verse number one, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So here, that exhortation of prayer, we see the necessity of it. It is necessary. Do you realize tonight, my friend, that any relationship that does not have communication will die? Marriages die because of lack of communication. Friendships die because of lack of communication. Business relationships die because of lack of communication. And so it is a necessity that we pray. It must be a part of our daily life. Not once in a while, not just before I eat, not when we have prayer meeting, not on Wednesday night because we gather around the altar. It should be daily, and it should be often. It's sad to think that Muslims have more, they're praying to someone who's not there. They're more committed to praying than we are when we say we're the only ones who has a living Savior. It's amazing that other religions find more value in praying to someone who cannot hear their prayer than folks that will pray and know that God hears us. And so tonight we have to understand we cannot accomplish what needs to be done without the Lord. Listen, we can go out and knock on every door in Davidson County 5,000 times, but we cannot get accomplished what God wants accomplished without the power of prayer. And if we're not going to make it a priority in our life, then we'll get very little done of eternal value in this realm that we live. So you and I have to make prayer a necessity, not a luxury, right? We look today, and I was telling the men, we had deacons meet, and I said, it's interesting, isn't it, that the thing like hamburger, $10 a pound, whatever it is now, they're trying to make it a luxury item. That, you know, it's not that you can eat hamburger every night. Well, on special occasions, you can get some ground beef. God help us. What are we going to eat? Flowers? Man, God gave me these to tear through meat. So we're looking at an unusual day. And so you and I have to realize that to accomplish what needs to be done in our physical life, there are some nutrients we need. We need protein. We need vitamins and minerals. They're necessary, right? And without it, we don't grow well. Well, if we don't pray, we don't grow well spiritually. And I'm convinced, Brother Jimmy, that the reason in the day we live, there are such anemic Christians that have no power, that have no resolve, that have no faithfulness, it's because we do not spend time in prayer. Let's be honest, folks. Most people can take or leave Christianity. They want to go to heaven, but as far as being committed to Christ, they don't care. They only pray when they need something. And then if God does not answer them, Brother Bart, they say, well, God doesn't answer prayer. Well, I'll say tonight that prayer is necessary in our lives. And if you don't understand the necessity of prayer, friend, you're in trouble. So the exhortation to pray is that there's the necessity of prayer. Then there is the nature of prayer. Now watch. It should be natural for the believer to pray. Let me say it again. It should be natural for the believer to pray. You say, then what's wrong? We have this stinking flesh. And what you feed the most is what's going to win out. If it's not natural for us to pray, it's because that we have so fed our flesh that the spiritual man is starving and it seems unnatural. The more we feed the spiritual man, the more natural praying will be. Amen? So the fact is, it should be natural. You say, well, it's not natural for me. I'm just not much of a talker. Sure you are. If it's not natural for you to communicate with your spouse, you will have problems in your marriage. If it's not natural for you to communicate with your friend, you will have problems in the friendship. If it's not natural for you to communicate with the God of heaven who saved you from hell, I promise you your relationship with him will be hindered, and so it should be natural. It is our communication with our Father. Listen, my kids, especially when they're young, don't have much problem communicating with me. They say, Daddy, I want this. Daddy, I want this. Daddy, I want this. They just want to be around you. Well, you and I need to have that same relationship with God. If you don't like prayer and you don't like Bible study, then there's a problem, and the problem's not with God, it's with us. So it's the nature of prayer, but then I want you to see the neediness of prayer. In this scripture, the Bible said that we're to pray all supplication, prayer of intercession, giving of thanks, be made for all men. So not only, the Bible doesn't tell us to only pray for us, we're to pray for others. Everybody needs prayer. There's not a person in here tonight that doesn't need prayer. You might not, if we went around the building and said, who needs prayer? You may not raise your hand, but I promise you there's a need in your life for prayer. So we always have something or someone to pray for or something to pray about. There are others who need us to pray for them. As a matter of fact, as we study the scripture, the Bible said we're to do all these things that be made for all men. Even our officials need prayer. Joe Biden needs prayer in more than one area. Amen. All of our leaders need prayer. And so you and I have to look at this as it is our responsibility to pray. It's not just a privilege, it is a responsibility. If your job, let's say it's where you work, your job is to be the liaison between upper management and the workforce, what you're saying is, what I'm doing is I'm going to both parties and I'm the middleman. Well, a lot of times that's where we are in prayer. It's not about praying for us all the time. It's about praying for others that need it and may not can pray for themselves. So look at yourself as an interceder or intercessor for those that may not can or will pray for themselves. So the exhortation to pray. Listen, I pray for you. You pray for me. I pray for my children, right? I pray for others. I pray for other preachers. You pray for your family. We're interceding. So we ought to look at that as not as a hindrance. We ought to look at it as a great privilege that we get to pray for other people. So here, the exhortation to pray, the Bible is telling us, I'm exhorting you. I'm encouraging you. I'm trying to let you see how important prayer is. Okay, so we're building up. So we understand, brother, that it's necessary, it's important. Can we agree with that? Okay, number two is the element of prayer. Notice the Bible tells us in verse 1, it gives us a list, supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. So supplication, we're praying for burdens. We're praying for our burdens, right? What we need and what we lack. There's nothing wrong with making your need known to God. Not necessarily wants, but need. If you need, now watch this. You think you need something. You pray to God. He doesn't give it to you. You've got to trust God that he knows your need better than you know your need. Because some things we say we need, we don't really need. Right? Give you an example. Your car starts breaking down. You say, I need a new car. In your mind, that is a necessity. But let's be honest. How many times you heard this? Well, you know what? I got to go buy a new car. Why? Well, because mine's starting to give me trouble. What you going to spend on a new car? Well, the one I'm looking at is $34,000. Well, how many transmissions can you put in for $34,000? It's got quiet. I just busted somebody's theology. How many alternators can you put in? You with me? Now, you may want a new car, and in your mind, you may have justified because this one's breaking down. And how many times you heard this? Well, I buy a new car because I don't want somebody else's problems. Well, that sounds good, but when the average cost of a new car is $42,000, you can deal with a lot of problems for $42,000. So it's not a need. Might be a want. If God gives you the okay, do it. But you understand what I'm saying? We make a lot of things a need that aren't really a need. I need a new pair of shoes. No, you may want some, but the one you got's fine, right? I need some money for my power bill. Well, if you wouldn't spend your money on your phone bill, you'd have money for your power bill. You with me? We got to be careful when we start praying about needs, because God really knows our need. And sometimes when he doesn't answer our prayer about our need, we start questioning God whether he's really good or whether he really is interested in me. And God's saying, I know your need better than you do, and what you're asking for, you don't need. Good preaching. So we're to pray for our burdens, what we need, what we lack. Not just material, but listen, we lack power. We lack faith. We lack compassion. We lack forgiveness. We lack understanding. We ought to pray supplication for those things. We need those things. I need to be forgiving. You do too. I need to be compassionate. You do too. We live in a very day where people are not compassionate. I've seen it in the church. Now, I'm not critical of you. I'm saying Christians in general, where we just don't have compassion. Somebody walks in the door, hadn't been here in 6 months. We go, where you been? Well, let me ask you this. Where you been in talking to them for the last 6 months? Look what the cat dragged in. Well, let me say this to you. Maybe the cat wouldn't have had to drag him in if you'd have went after him. Amen, good preaching. See, if we're not careful, we don't even know what we need. So we're to pray prayer of supplication for our burdens. And then also we're to give thanks. The Bible said we're to give thanks for our blessings. Listen, the word prayer means devotion or giving of thanks. Prayer is not simply asking. Prayer is our devotion, our worship. How often do you worship God in your prayer life? Listen, God doesn't mind if you brag on him a little bit. Hey, God doesn't mind if you start calling out his attributes that he's holy and he's gracious and he's long-suffering and he's good. Amen. It's not going to bother him if you start praising him that way. But how often do we forget about all that and just go straight to, I need this, God. Spend more time praising God than you do asking God. So for our blessing, giving of thanks. Then for the burden. The Bible said we're to make, first of all, supplication, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we're to pray for others. It's not just about praying for you. It's not just about praying and worshiping God. We're to pray for each other, right? Someone else's need. Here, watch this. You know how you know someone else's need? You care about them. Now, here's what I found in my life. People want you to care about them, but they don't probably care about you. Brother Johnny, I get messages quite often. I'm good with it. Text message, phone call. Preacher, I need you to pray for my cousin, my uncle, my mom, my dad, my wife, my husband, my kids. I need you to pray for them. Here's what I don't find often. Brother Jim, if I'm wrong, Brother Jose, if I'm wrong, you guys tell me. Very seldom do I ever get a text message say, preacher, what can I pray about for you? Very seldom, and I don't know. How often do you get a text message for someone else that says, hey, what can I pray about for you? Oh, we've got real quiet. When you're making all your prayer requests on social media, when's the last time you've put out the invitation, if there's something I can pray for you about, let me know. I think I've struck pay dirt. So we are to pray for our burdens, we're to pray for our blessings, but then also we're to pray for the burdened, someone else's needs. Okay? So we're good with all that. Well, now let's examine for a few minutes the enemies of prayer. Number three, the enemies of prayer. What hinders us, right? Because we know it's necessary. Just like water, food, air, it's necessary. We realize that it is our responsibility and privilege that we should do it. So why don't we do it? That's what always gets me. Why don't I do the things that I know I should do, right? I'll give you an example. I love cake. I love it. I love ice cream. It is heavenly when you put ice cream on top of the cake. Anybody disagree with that? If you do, you're not saved. I know you're not Baptist. It is extra special when you put cake, ice cream, and then have some type of topping on top of that, right? It is good. But listen, it is awful for you. It is, let me break it down for you. It's plumb terrible for you. And we live in a day, let's be honest, people have heart issues, blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes. Ouch. But you know what we'll do? If somebody throws a big old piece of cake and ice cream right in front of us, we'll go, just this once. Right? I'll do it. I'm not, listen, don't look down at the floor. I'm telling you, I'll do it too. We know that we shouldn't do that, but we do it anyway. And we justify it, right? So why? Why do we do those things? Because the attraction is too great, right? Or we'll say just this one time. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, if I say one time today and you put the same thing in front of me tomorrow, I will probably fail. It's an enemy. I know what I should do, but if you put the cake in front of me, I'm probably not going to do what I know I should do. So what's the solution? Stay away from it. If you say, listen, preacher, we're going to have a party for so-and-so, and they're going to have the best birthday cake you ever had and ice cream, and we want you to come, I have to make a decision. I can go or I cannot go. If I go and you're eating ice cream and cake, I'm probably not going to sit there and not have any. I'm just not. Now, if you have that willpower, you're a blessing to everybody else. You're the blessed to the rest of us. So I've just got to figure out, I cannot be there if that's there or that's going down here. Same thing with prayer. We know we should do it. Know it's important. Know it's good for us. Why don't we do it? A couple reasons I see. I'm sure there's probably 1,000 more, but I'll share some with you. First of all, is defeat. Defeat. We live in a day of defeat. We're spiritually fatigued, right? We are emotionally fatigued, and we're physically fatigued. And the very thing that we should be doing is praying, because of that causes us not to. Give you an example. People don't come to church. I've talked to people who say, I don't come to church. I would come to church, but I'm living in sin. I'm shacked up. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. And I just can't come to church like that. They're the people that need to be there. Yeah, right? If you're sick and you say, I'm not going to the doctor because I'm sick, you're the person that should be going to the doctor. And same thing, when we're fatigued and we're spiritually drained and we're physically drained and we're emotionally drained, that's the time we should. But you know what we'll do? We want to talk to somebody. We'll talk to people we shouldn't talk to in that very condition, and we'll bypass the one we should talk to. We should be talking to the Lord about all this stuff. Instead, we'll call our best friend and we'll unload on, I just need somebody to talk to. We'll talk to the one that can actually do something about the problem. So we're defeated. We don't pray because of defeat. We don't pray because of distractions. We're easily distracted. Can we agree with that? You can ask these men. It's hard to stand up here and look out there and not get distracted. Because 95% of you, you're tuned into what's going on. But sometimes you look out and you see people's face glowing. And their head like this. You don't have to be a private investigator to know that they're on their phone. Right? You say, oh, I got my Bible on my phone. No, you don't. You got scripture on there. Here's your Bible. I'd bring this. Because your face doesn't light up the same. Right? And so then you see people talking, people sleeping, people snoring, people yawning, people doing all kinds of... It's difficult sometimes to preach and not get distracted. Well, same thing when it comes to praying. Devil's going to do all he can to get your mind off of what you're doing, and he'll distract you. 4 o'clock in the morning, somebody will call you, text you. You're going, what are they doing up? All kinds of things will happen. So he breaks our concentration. It's hard to pray, let's be honest. You're trying to tune in to pray, and all of a sudden your mind starts wandering. Does yours do that? Mine does. Can't keep concentration. Not able to be present. We're somewhere else. We're going through the motions of prayer. We're not there. Right? We're distracted. And I promise you, one of the great distractions that has ever been invented is a phone. I'm serious. And I get it. We're there. I've got one. I'm not... Bless God, throw away all your electronics. I'm not dumb. We're not going back there. But we're at the place where when we get up in the morning, if that thing's not in our hand, it's like, whoa. Forget about having coffee. It's like this dopamine drip that if that thing's not in our hand when we get up, our world's shattered. I got to check on social media. I got to check. Leave it alone for a while. Because once the devil distracts you with that, you're not going to go back and get your mind right to pray. Listen, I get it, but leave it there. Do your Bible study. Do your prayer time before you ever pick up your phone. Distractions. Then there's despair. What do you mean by that? Watch. We're consumed with the now. We're consumed with what's going on right now. We don't pray because we're worried. We're anxious. But again, the time we should be praying, we don't because of despair. We're consumed with that. We don't look to the future. Brother Matt, we're not even thinking about heaven. We're thinking about now. And when we do pray, we're praying that God would fix our situation right now. Well, again, people say, pray for America. Okay, what are we praying for? Praying God would give us a new administration, that God would do this. Well, according to the Bible here, we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Didn't say a thing about changing administration. Didn't say a thing about your life not being tough. It says we're to pray that we could live peaceably. Amen. And so finally, enemy of prayer is dispatch. I ain't talking about the paper. You don't even read that paper. I'm talking about haste. I'm talking about moving too quickly. We got too much going on. We don't have time to pray, right? We got to get it done. We got 5 minutes. I got to get it done. Lord, I want you to bless the children. I want you to bless the church and bless this and bless this. And I pray for this and I pray for this. What are you praying for? Listen, if you came to your husband or your wife and you said, we need to talk. Okay, what are you going to talk about? Well, I want to pray for your job. Okay, what do you say? I want to talk about supper tonight. Okay, what are we going to talk about? Supper. What about supper? Supper. We're talking about supper. You didn't say a thing about supper, except you want to talk about it. That's how we pray, isn't it? I want to pray for the church. What about the church? You want to pray people get saved? God, will you empower us to see more people saved? Would you give us a burden for the lost? That's praying, right? Just saying, I pray for is not really praying, right? If you came to me and said, preacher, I'm concerned about, you know, Brother Jose. Well, what are you concerned about? I'm concerned. About what? Concerned. About what? Right? And so we're not really praying. We're just using the word pray. I pray for Brother Eddie. About what? I'm praying. I pray for, you know, the bus ministry. What about the bus ministry? I pray for the Spanish church. What about the Spanish church? See, we talk about we can't pray for 15 minutes. We don't try to pray. We don't try to have a conversation with God. We just kind of hit the bullet points of here's my 5-point outline I'm praying for, but we're not really praying. I want to talk to you about my car. Okay, what about it? It's making a funny noise. What is it? Funny noise. What kind of funny noise? A funny noise. That's how we pray. You don't want to talk to me about your car, I wouldn't know what it was anyway. But we do that because we do not want to get in depth with our prayer life, because we can feel good about ourselves and have 5 minutes of prayer and say, I prayed today. Yeah? We got to get on. We got to get on to our job. We got to get on for breakfast. We got to get on for this. Lunchtime, I want to say, Lord, thank you for this food and use it and amen. Okay? And I get it, brother. There's a difference. I'm not critical, but I don't think if you're praying for your food, you ought to pray for 30 minutes about the children in Africa and, you know, soul winning around the world. This is, if we're asking God, thanking God for the food, let's thank for the food. We're thanking him for the offering. You know, you don't have to pray for 30 minutes about everything that comes to your mind. Now, if God tells you to, I'm not the Holy Spirit. You do what God tells you to. But so oftentimes, we just talk, right? And sometimes, most times, we move too quickly. We forget or don't take the time to pray. We got so much going on. Oh, I forgot to pray. Here's my problem. All right, I'm going to share with you. First, let me say this. You probably figured it out. If you hadn't, I'm telling you now. Pastor's not perfect. I wish I could tell you I get up every morning and study my Bible and pray and I have no trouble with it. But that's not me. My problem is, in my mind, I've got a calendar. I've got a list. And every morning when I get up, my list is do this, 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 this. Here's my time. Here's my calendar. From 4 to 6, here's what I do. From 6 to 7 or 7:30, here's what I do. If I miss that 4 to 6 and I try to say, well, I woke up a little late today, therefore, I just have to move everything back. I can't do it. Brother Tim, it drives me absolutely crazy. I can't do it. So I miss that 4 to 6, and I go straight from the 6 to 7:30. And so if I'm not careful, if I don't get up at 4 o'clock like I do, then I'm probably not going to pray and read my Bible that day. That's me. You look and say, well, I miss it because of, you know, distractions, whatever. My thing is, here's my time to do it. And if I miss that time, I'm like, it's going to mess my whole day up. When what I should do is say, the rest of the day doesn't matter. What matters is my Bible study, my prayer. If I don't get that done, none of the rest of it matters. Forgive me, I'm human. Now, what's your distraction? What's your dispatch? What's your defeat? What's your despair? What is hindering you from praying? Because it could be a lot of different things. May not be any of those things. May be something totally different for you. But whatever it is, you got to deal with it. Because if prayer is necessary, we've got to do whatever it takes to remove the things that are causing us not to pray. Let's stand together. May the Lord spoke to your heart this evening about things that are causing you not to pray. And best thing to do tonight is just come confess them and say, Lord, I know it's a problem for me. I told you what mine is. Sometimes it's just not a priority, is it? Not the priority. Sometimes we're busy and other things get in the way. Whatever it is, ask God to reveal in your heart tonight what's hindering your prayer life. And I would do this. Just come. I don't know what it is. Not my business. Get on this altar and say, God, I am acknowledging that my prayer life is hindered because of this. And I'm asking you to help me with it. Maybe you are distracted. Maybe you are too quick. Whatever, just listen. I think we make too big a deal about our appearance. Well, I don't want anybody to know that I've got a problem. Why not? They do too. Use the altar tonight.